I'm starting the podcast without Fraser in the room.
Fraser, we are starting the podcast.
This is what the people like. They like an opening like this. Imagine, if you will, that another week has gone by, which it has. We're coming to you the week after the last podcast. Fraser, welcome.
Fraser, welcome.
Fraser.
Fraser. Round of applause.
Frasers.
All the Fraser heads.
Can I close
Let's
the door?
Go. Close the door, please. We're in here. The boys got coffees. The boys got tea. We got Coke Zero in the building. That's good, dude. We're back. We did it again. You said last week, after listening to last week's episode, everyone said no way they can do it again. They must have spent all their energy and no way they could coordinate getting back together a week after that podcast happened.
Never.
But look at us. Look at us. It's been a week since that podcast, I'll remind you.
True. Still wearing the same clothes.
And here we are again. And we're back podcasting. And I couldn't be more excited. I'm here with my friends.
My favorite people.
My favorite people. My favorite humans.
These are my three favorite
I'm here with my three favorite humans. Once again,
myself.
We're...
Three favorite humans.
I include
yourself.
Myself. Yes. Yes.
We're not...
I included myself.
Including myself in this.
I mean, I'm my favorite human if I was... I mean, if we're being real.
You gotta be.
You
gotta
be
your own advocate.
You gotta be... Be the main character you want to
be,
bro. Be
the man
Fuck
you
everyone
be.
Else. You
exactly.
really can't... You, people are focusing too much on other people's business nowadays, bro.
Pocket watchers.
Yeah, dog. Say what you really want.
Yeah. You fucking kidding me?
Yeah. We're having a good discussion. Matt got called gay.
Matt was at, yeah. Matt was
That's
at a
some
restaurant.
Good hospitality right there.
I was at a restaurant on St. Patrick's Day, and I was just like doing my thing.
Doing his
like,
thing.
Just enjoying a few Guinnesses and just the St. Patrick's Day parade, and I'm just enjoying a few Guinnesses. And this woman, like mid-50s, I would say, comes up to me after me not saying a word for 25 minutes and says, "Stop being gay."
Got him.
Oof. And I was like, "What the fuck?"
On you, dude.
I was like, "What the fuck am I doing?" And
roasted.
Then, and, like, I was a subject to quite a little bit of abuse, verbal and a slightly
and it's
physical.
It's your holiday. It's your
yeah,
one day.
That's true. Yeah, I
Matt
got
Gillick
a little bit on St. Patrick's Day. They're
up
talking,
with the IRA,
talking
bro.
That talk.
Yeah, they're talking that talk. I'm about my tribe. I'm like my name literally means Irish. It's an anglicized version, but it literally means that.
Gillick.
Gaelic, Gaelic, Gaelica, and they fucking the later on that night, I'm like answering a phone call from my wife. I like see she's calling. I'm about ready to swipe right, answer the phone. This guy walks by, barely like get a look at him, grabs my arm and knocks my phone down out of my hand.
Fucking banged it on
and
you
I'm
on your
like,
day
Jesus
too.
Christ.
You're getting roasted.
And I'm getting fucking
what?
Roasted. And I thought to myself, you know what? This will not stand. So I say to him, like, "You're really gonna do that, asshole?" And he turns around and gives me a grin. And his stupid girlfriend is like hitting him on the shoulder, going, "Stop it." So yeah. I wait, like, I give a beat, and my friend, shout out my friend, we all know him.
Shout out to my friend.
Yes, yeah. Shout out to my friend, we all know him. He just says,
"You're not gonna say his name?
Matt?" No, I'm not gonna say his name.
Why not?
Because he works at a very important bank, and I don't wanna.
Well, you say his first name.
Oh yeah, sure. So my good friend Paul, says, he looks at me and he just sees that I'm like seeing red at this point. I've had a few drinks in me, and it's like 11 o'clock at night. I've been there since 2. And he just says to me, Matt, stop. And I wait 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I start weaving through the crowd.
Yeah.
Finding him. And I thought to myself, what am I going to do? Am I going to rabbit punch this guy? Am I going to tackle him? Am I going to elbow him? Am I going to knock him to the ground? Am I going to do all this stuff? But I decided, being a man of peace, it's my day, and St. Patrick would not approve of this.
The Irish have been through enough.
Probably, if you're really Irish, you would have rocked that girlfriend and then be like, "What?"
So what?
The bars are full. It's fucking hilarious, right?
There you go, bro. Boom.
the bar's full. The bar's full, and it's fucking hilarious.
Right. Obey your mother! And just fucking hit his girlfriend and then be like, what?
Bar's full, it's fucking hilarious, right? Fucking hilarious.
Shouts out to Tam. Shouts out to the Tam.
Yeah.
To the Tam?
Fuck the Tam.
That's the go-to post class beer spot for Emerson.
Yep.
I got away with it, though, because I'm New England. But I don't know. They're also not really. They're not like that. That was just that video specifically. Just because pointing a camera.
But
in
this motherfucker. But this motherfucker who knocked the phone out of my hand. He was like that.
He was asking
and
for it.
So I.
Oh, yeah. What did you do?
So I'm and I get up.
So you punched his girlfriend.
No, I did not. I decided.
Paul did.
I decided. I decided.
Get my boy to do it.
I decided in a split second to resort to psychological warfare.
Holy shit.
So I go up behind him. So I go up behind him. I got a cramp in my foot. So I go up behind him, and I grab him by the shoulder. As I'm grabbing by the shoulder, I go, boo! And I hear him squeal and his girlfriend squeal at the same pitch.
Damn.
And then what?
And he just goes, he's like, ah! And she goes, ah! And I then say, fucking scared you. And he was like, Jesus Christ, man. And
no
I
way,
run away.
Man.
Oh,
then
I yeah. Right
there's,
after.
There's the end of that.
Yeah. And then I ran away because, you know what? I didn't want to get into
and then
it.
You should have credit carded him. Just like a good swipe.
Asshole.
But like, that's a fucking dickhead move on his part. But at the same time, like, I felt powerful. It actually got me
your day?
About, like how powerful
it's my fucking day.
It's my fucking day.
Fucking
and
running the snakes.
At least for about 20 to 30 minutes after that instance, I lived in his head. Like I lived in his head. I
He's
scared
probably
him.
Thinking about you today. Just
yeah.
like
who is that guy?
That's like, the worst anxiety
who is that
hangover
guy that,
ever.
Who is that guy
like,
that yelled at me?
That gets spooked last
the guy
night.
That scared,
fuck.
Like, the guy that like I'm there's a good chance it might have been me or it might have been him, but like there was a wafting fart smell like that
fart
like
smell?
Was there. It was probably me. That I farted
Guinness
like
farts?
I was, oh,
Guinness
dude.
Farts.
Guinness farts are
you
stale.
Blackout stout farts.
Yeah,
making bread in your pants.
But it got me thinking, like after in my own hangover anxiety, thinking that I'd said horrible things and done horrible things.
You went on a pretty big rant about the Chinese. I will say that.
What's going on with the Chinese?
They really are coming across as pretty morally upright at this point.
They're sneaking in. Shots out of the Chinese going to Mexico to come through.
Yeah, they're literally going like this. Hey, they're going like, we don't like the Uyghurs, but we stand with Palestine.
Yeah. Even though we've been putting people of the Muslim faith in camps for, you know, past 20 years.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah,
whatever.
And then they're going like, what Israel is doing is genocide and it's terrible. And I'm
dang,
like, what
dude.
The
it's
fuck?
Crazy. It's crazy that. You kind of got to respect America for not not playing the PR game or not playing it properly.
They're not playing the PR game at all.
Yeah.
We've got money in the most of it. We'll say whatever.
Yeah.
And then there'll be a backlash to it. So we always have – it's
like
always 50-50.
Like just lie. Why wouldn't you just lie?
We lie all the time.
Yeah. But, yeah, of course. Why wouldn't you just
and
lie
we're so
now?
Good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just deny. Deny till you
or
die,
you double
bro.
Down.
The American
or you
way.
Double down. I was watching. I watched a 4-hour debate between Benny Morris, Israeli historian, quote unquote historian.
How many hours?
4 hours.
You watched the whole thing?
I watched the whole thing.
Why did you watch the whole thing?
Because I think it's an important issue.
Is it the Norm Finkelstein?
Yes,
yeah,
it's
thing?
Norm Finkelstein.
Okay,
destiny.
I would watch 4 hours.
Shouts out Norman.
And Muin Rabbani, a Palestinian advocate.
Between us, we read
Norman
10,000 books on the subject.
Like, yes, Mr. Bonelli.
That's how many I read
a year. Me and Muin have read 15,000 books on the subject, and you don't even know chapter 5 from tweet 5.
You might think that this episode sounds similar to the last episode, and part of that is there's a narrative through line. It's the same characters here. Also, Matt's doing the Jewish voice again.
He's doing the Norman Finkelstein voice. That's okay.
It's Norman Finkelstein. I was.
It's a very. I mean, you can do impressions.
Do you think Norman
Finkelstein?
You got it. It's funny.
Yeah, it's funny.
His voice. Is
do it again.
Ridiculous.
Do it.
Yeah, he knows it.
Mr. Bonelli.
Yeah.
You
say something else. Say something else.
You need to stop changing the subject, Mr. Bonelli. Because if you don't know what you're talking about, at least have the humility to shut up.
Okay, do it. But he's like, he's trying to have sex with someone.
You know, baby.
Yeah, okay. Come on.
Do it, but like...
You know, baby, you looked mighty good in them jeans.
Is that what he...
No, I don't know if he would say. He was like, you looked quite becoming in those jeans.
Pretend you're at like a deli and they didn't put enough cream cheese on your bag.
Oh, yeah.
Please. Oh. That's a little too close.
Actually, don't do that one.
Do that one. That one's good.
Don't do that.
They're charging you 50 cents extra since the last time you know.
Christ.
Don't do that one. Don't do that one.
No, but I think Norm. Shout out Norm.
This Yamini guy is ripping me off. I swear.
He's a Houthi. He's a Houthi.
This is why I never liked the Yamini. That was all love.
It is all love. It's
shout
all
out to the Yemenis, bro.
Shout out to the Houthis and Houthi Chalamet.
The best smoke shops, vape shops, and delis in my area, God, except for Los Primos. Shouts out the boys.
Shouts out the boys.
Dominicans?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
They were very nice, though. They all went. I gave them a copy of the zine, and they let me shoot pictures in their store and everything.
Sick. And
For Head On Encounter. I have a copy with me, actually. Yeah, I got a new one for Head On Encounter. It's good.
Fraser made a new zine.
Good for you, man. Fraser got a new zine.
I'll show the copy.
Clap, clap, clap.
Yeah.
Go, kid.
But no, they fucked with it and took pictures of it. I gave them a few copies. Very nice people.
Nice. Got some circulation going.
Yeah. They hook it up.
I use Apple Pay, and it's under $5. So you know it's real.
Yeah.
When I go in there and get something for $1 and still use Apple Pay like a piece of shit. You fucking dirtbag.
I'm trying to stick with cash. I'm trying to do as much cash as possible.
Why?
I don't know. I just
It's better, you know. And also,
I have absolutely no idea.
Pockets on the train ride home. It's better for him. It's better for everyone.
Tell me what.
I have absolutely no idea. I just feel like it's just something that I said. You know what? I'm going to try to use more cash.
Sure.
There's no philosophy behind it whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's a philosophy. It feels like actual.
Cash is a fucking ripoff too, because then you end up with change.
I love using change.
I save up all my change and then I use it to pay for my next tattoo.
Yeah. If a thing is $1.50, it might as well just be $2. You just get ripped off on every transaction. Yeah. That's like not even.
I'm covered in tattoos.
What?
Matt just said, I agree with him, and I for a second I was like, wait, what?
No, I use all the change that I have, and I put it in a jar.
You get like $350 worth of change.
No, I use it to pay off part of it. So I get so I'll have like $85. So it'll be like instead of $200, it'll be $120.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. So it's a good way to save money. It's also kind of like if the jar is full, I'm like, okay, it's time for me to get a new tattoo.
Next tattoo. What are you gonna get?
I don't really know.
I'm gonna get something.
I'm gonna get something on my inner left forearm,
Supreme guys are skating in blue.
Yesterday. Oh, gross!
Yeah, they're all wearing suit. It seems lamer and lamer every single day.
It is really lame.
And now it's like
with William Epstein.
35-year-olds, almost probably 40-year-olds, like at the skate park with like every article is Supreme, wearing Dunks and like trying to do like switchback 50s. Matt, don't worry about that.
It looks stupid.
Like, who cares?
I remember Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2.
We realize, as Gifted Hair would say, our only like saving grace in the skateboard world is like more people like Ryan DeCenzo. We need more core guys, 100%.
Yeah.
Same thing with fucking I want to bring back Shecklers. Why isn't anyone doing the Ryan Sheckler thing nowadays?
What do you mean?
We all fell in love. I want to see a Grom with flowy hair who just does the biggest backside kickflips.
Dylan Jobb.
Gross. He does tech shit on rails. It doesn't look good.
He hucks.
It looks ugly.
I like tech deck.
You like tech decks? I love fingerboarding.
Anyway. I was never good at them, but I always liked them.
I love them, bro. They look so colorful. We can't
be talking about that, dude. Matt, do the
skateboarding. Skateboarding is dumb. It's overrated.
What's the deal with the tech decks?
Dude, Norman.
They don't do anything. It is not intellectually stimulating.
Oh, man. They made Werner Herzog. Whatever the fuck is this? Werner Herzog.
Yeah, perfect.
Something fucking Third Reich-y. He did
he's Austrian. Yeah.
They made him review skateboard footage. Oh god, dude, for that's a Jankum thing. And yeah. I was like, dude, fucking let this guy die in peace.
Those guys are fucking idiots. Just like, I think that was the
dude. Look how artsy this shit is.
These are fucking dumbasses. I was. Dude, that thing is atrocious. They had not a single question prepared.
No questions. He was just complimenting it.
There's this skate magazine, or it's more of an online
thing.
Shout
out
Jankum.
I did Jankum for
Fraser has been illustrated for them before. Yeah, but their origin story is like the skateboarding equivalent of like total frat move.
Yeah.
Or you don't have to go back that far to find like hot chicks at the fucking show
dropping acid at street league.
Yeah,
what?
Like that type of shit. It was like 3 years ago they were doing this shit, and now like it got popular enough that I don't know. They're given access to real people, and they did an interview with Werner Herzog.
Yeah,
and had zero questions prepared and just made him watch skate clips, and like the whole time he's just like, oh yeah,
very creative. Very creative.
This is very creative,
I will say.
And it also creates a certain kind of hell.
No, you wish he would do that.
He just goes like that's cool.
Yeah, he's the only thing he says, he's like, so many colors. When I grew up, people were really into skiing, and I guess that's kind of like this.
No, Jankum sucks now.
Burn it down.
The one cool sort of in that I had, he just quit.
Who?
Like a year ago. Dude, Larry, who used to do interviews. Yeah, he quit. He's done with Jankum.
Where'd he go?
He does his own thing now.
What is it?
I don't know. He just fucking writes and skates. He was actually one of the only skateboarders who was at Jankum,
too.
Dude,
the kids don't even skate, too.
Larry skates. Larry's actually
whatever
pretty
good. The head guy.
The main guy can't skate.
Never seen him skate.
He can't skate.
Facts,
he can't skate.
He couldn't even get on.
All the people who work at Jankum don't skate, and the one guy they did have who actually skated and interviewed skaters left. So
that's the long-haired guy.
It's Larry, yeah, the long-haired
guy. Yeah, that guy's
hair.
A man.
Yeah, Larry's sick, but he was cool enough to be like, "Yeah, this shit's kind of whack." Or he outgrew it, I think is a better way to say it.
Larry,
if
you're
frat boy,
dude, you can come to Cult Magazine.
I can hit up Larry. Hit him up.
Yeah, he's in.
Whatever you got, he writes. He's a writer.
Really?
Yeah.
What does he write?
He wrote all the skateboarding articles. He's mostly like a humorist and nonfiction writer.
Oh, solid.
Perfect.
Give him a column.
Yeah. He does like essays.
We gotta get the newsletter going.
Yeah.
We do gotta get the newsletter going. That's been in the hopper for like 6 weeks.
I don't ever do anything.
This is a newsletter right here, bro.
This is our newsletter.
This is it.
And this is the second week in a row.
We're giving you all the important Norman Finkelstein accents. Yeah.
I don't know what our audience looks like. I think it's about 13 big.
Hell yeah.
I think there's about 14 people that might listen to this. Yeah.
13 people who can
tear me down. I was looking at the traffic. It gets a bit like that's some of the episodes hit 100.
100 views?
What?
Yeah.
That's too many.
Jesus Christ.
That's too many.
Well, they're really going to love this one.
Do another Norman Finkelstein impression quick. You're losing their attention.
I think it's a pretty good impression.
I think it's getting better the more you do it the more you do it on the microphone.
Yeah.
The better it gets.
It's like, I think it's hit with a little bit of Larry David, though, too.
Yeah,
you watch
a little bit,
of Curb.
But like he's a born and raised in Brooklyn type of guy.
Yeah, he's too old now, too. I won't watch that last season of Curb just because it's gross to watch it. It was the same thing. Like, I was watching the ex of mine. We were watching, like, a Vice Munchies thing, and it was a guy who, like, loves cheeseburgers. Mm-hmm. But he was also, like, this is not fat phobic, but he was also, like,
fat.
He was like 400 pounds. He's like morbidly obese.
Yeah, so he's unhealthy.
And it's a
unhealthy
guy, and he's just eating and
die.
Making like 10 cheeseburgers
oh,
at a time.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking
and
about.
And my ex at the time was like, you got to turn this off. I can't watch this. And I was like, why? Yeah. She goes, this guy's killing himself.
Yeah,
like,
we're watching a slow show.
In front of ourselves.
And he's
this
like,
is
so,
bad.
He's like,
And then I was like, oh, shit. Yeah, fuck.
It's like almost, yeah, for some reason, you don't feel that way about Matty Matheson or whatever his name is.
It's because he's already had 2 heart attacks, so I'm just like, he doesn't care.
And he's sober.
Yeah, but this guy is like, he might be dead, dude. Like, I know that video so well.
That
video
was really bad. And it had to be pointed out to me, and then I was like, oh, yeah.
This is gross.
That is really bad. And he would eat the whole thing, too.
Smashing him.
Also, it was more of a mukbang. Like, it was just watching a guy make and devour 10 cheeseburgers in a row, and he's like hard of breathing and shit, and you're just like, oh fuck.
So what, like, I would think like there has to be some,
I don't know why they would hire
something,
him for
there's
that.
Something evolutionary inside someone who's able to do that to themselves, and when you didn't have that level of food available to you, what would someone with that sort of brain chemistry be doing?
You just find a new addiction.
I think they'd be killing people. I think they'd be killing people.
Yeah.
Like, what would they be doing? Like,
getting
like
the gambling, fucking, you'd do anything.
Like, well, like, in a primitive context.
Yeah, in a primitive context. Like, before, like, when there wasn't food available for everyone
at
the time.
Or, a large amount of food.
Yeah, and you're like, okay, what does he do now? That addiction or that compulsion has to go somewhere. Is he, like, a scribe or a monk? Or is he, like, the village idiot? Is he the fool? Or is he some guy who just marauds?
He has an unquenchable thirst for knowledge.
Is it nurture? So, that is probably more, I don't know if it's nurture or nature. No one, as scientists still don't know to this day really what addictions are and why people have
Fraser them. Checking in, just talk to all the scientists.
No, they still, there's a really good Nat Geo, like, whole issue about it that came out in, like,
addictions.
2018, sorry, about, like, the psychology of nurture versus nature when it comes to addictions and if it's actually chemically provable.
Yeah.
But what they basically found out through a bunch of bogus shit is it's kind of not. It's like the same way. It's like, could we fucking do like a CAT scan and be like, can we tell if this guy is gay or not chemically through his brain?
No, you
can't.
Really can't.
You can't?
You
no,
can't.
You can't.
There's no chemical release in your brain.
There's no gay gene.
Have a certain sexuality.
But there's also
same thing with addictions. There's no chemical. There's no actual like disease. There's no chemistry or anything. There's nothing. There's no valid proof other than a nurture just being like that's just what humans are.
This shit's God given.
It's God given. Yeah.
But what about
believe in God?
What about the idea of like epigenetics? Like of epigenetics because like
I proved that was false too.
I thought that
it's real.
I thought that was real.
Do you believe in like?
I love when people say. I love when people say that. I think they proved that false. You don't know, dude.
Okay.
I'll tell you what I.
Do you believe in traumas from past generations?
Yes, dude. Ghost of my forefathers.
I think that there is a
You don't believe in shit, dude?
I'll try to find the actual site, and I'll actually try to like find the source. But there was a study. I believe in Norway. Where they studied these rats, which have a 98%, which of course it's not provable. Rats have a 98% similarity in their brain structure to a human's.
99% to Fraser. You know?
Hey! Got him.
Rat.
But they first associated these mama rats, and they were given electroshock therapy so that whenever they were given electroshocks, it was associated with the smell of fruit, which rats naturally like the smell of fruit. They like to eat fruits. And so they did that to the point where every single time they would see fruit or smell fruit, they would immediately go into the corner and like not be even if there was no shock like administered, they would be like no. They'd be getting away from it. They'd be afraid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Then that mama had pups. That mama rat
had
pups. Well, I guess they call them pups. I'm just quoting like what I heard.
They're
from the
rat
video.
Pups.
Like rat pups.
Baby
yeah.
Rats.
Yeah, like little baby rats. The baby rats were
Rat-tons.
Then. The baby rats were then separated entirely from the mother after they were finished nursing, and then without administering any shocks, a fruit was placed and the fruit smell was administered, and those rats exhibited the same exact behavior that the mother rat had without any degree of conditioning whatsoever.
What do you guys say about that, Fraser?
Were they smart enough to know that, like, cantaloupes, like, not good fruit, and, like, they would go for, like, the strawberries?
No, they, like, whenever it was, pineapple. Like, I think the fruit that they had was grapes. Like, it
grapes
was,
are
it,
good.
It was, they, like, mm-hmm. they had grapes.
Starting
they
to feel
grapes.
Pretty silly,
yeah.
Aren't you, Fraser?
They go through in a bad breakup, like doubting. Eating a bunch of grapes, having some ice cream.
Grapes are
feeling
amazing.
Bad about
I
themselves.
I like purple grapes. I like purple grapes a lot.
Epigenetics.
I think it
may, yeah, dog, you just talked a bunch of shit about rats, bro. Guess what? I ain't a rat, dog. Yeah. So how about that, dog?
No,
there's
no,
a reason
saying,
God
I'm
made rats,
true.
Rats, and humans.
I would say that it's relatively. I would say that it's relatively.
Yeah, dog.
Plausible.
Next thing you're gonna say is you believe in evolution.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, you do. I bet you do, bro.
Like, do you know how fucking stupid we are? Of course, we came from monkeys.
You know what they did to Darwin, bro?
Go on.
Boom.
What'd you say?
You know what they did to Darwin?
What did they do?
God proved him wrong.
Yeah, he died.
He died, but he also had a disabled son. I think that was God just being like, got you.
But you know,
he had a
speaking
son,
of,
I had no
idea.
Yeah, he did have
like a
speaking quadriplegic?
His wife's last kids, he was like severely mentally disabled and only lived for like a year.
Check this out. Check this out. Check this out. Check this out.
What up? What up? What up?
Speaking of epigenetics, spring is right around the corner.
Right around the corner here. It's been beautiful out. Not today. It wasn't beautiful out today. A whole week from the other podcast. But it was. Spring's actually sprung. I'm telling you this.
Spring
now.
Has officially sprung.
It is here.
Here we are in the midst of spring. And Cult Magazine is ready to bring you their second ever.
Spring fashion podcast. Here we go.
This time, Fraser really did a lot of the heavy lifting last time. Matt, what's gonna be hot this spring?
Probably my ass crack.
All right. come on. Put some effort into it.
True.
I
have a very rudimentary, if not elementary, view of fashion, and I have a level of care about fashion that I don't necessarily know, but I will go out on a limb and say that jean shorts very well could come back across all spectrum.
Jean shorts are here.
Baggy ones, though.
I'm going to dig deeper.
I think, you know how the mom jeans where it's kind of like up on the waist? The jeans like the mom jeans are the jeans that like kind of like cover this part.
Yeah. The belly button.
Yeah, they cover the belly button.
I think those are back.
No,
too.
I think they're gonna be popular with
back,
dudes.
Back.
Oh,
I'll wear.
There
I used
we
to
go.
Wear girls' jeans and I was real like
there
skinny
go.
Jeans.
Thank you, Matt. Yes, there it is. Yeah, men are
got the
getting they ass out this spring
for mom jeans. Yeah, and they're gonna have like the red thread on the back pockets.
What do girls look at? You know.
Yeah, what do girls look at when they see a guy? I think they like observe the shoulders.
I don't know. I mean, all we do is wear baggy ass clothes. It's not like, you know, I feel
ass like me.
I actually wear Lululemon only.
Are they not checking out asses? I don't think.
I think they check out butts.
Fucking.
But they're not like hell yeah like that.
Oh yeah, they're not obsessed with butts like
they don't
are.
Like butts, bro. And I got a good butt, and I've never once been like,
yo,
you got a nice ass, bro. Even when the fucking cars were all out, and it was just like you could say something nice, never once. And it's hairless.
You've never been catcalled.
No one's ever
catcalled you.
Catcalled me, ever, bro.
Damn.
Even when I was wearing girl jeans, dog, they were not into
even
it.
Even when I was wearing.
I don't think women are pumped on.
Where were you
butts.
When I was wearing girl jeans?
Where were you, bro?
No, I didn't say that. I don't think they're openly pumped, but I think that they kind of like.
I just
go,
don't
like,
know, like.
They
what's,
don't want you to have a Hank
is
Hill
it like
ass.
The face? They're like trying to like. It, maybe it's like the jawline. They're like
the jawline and probably the profile.
That makes me horny.
I think.
I don't know. Maybe like the and maybe hair.
It's probably just a general vibe.
Yeah.
It's
because we are just an inherently ugly.
How confident
gender.
You are.
Swagger. It's the swagger.
It's your swag, bro. Turn my swag on.
Yeah.
Like the type of woman who falls in love with Norman Finkelstein. Do you think it's cuz
I don't think anyone's fallen in love with
Norman. I, you know, I highly doubt that. There's someone out there for everyone.
Well, I love Finkelstein. Norman Finkelstein's
reeling in the honeys, bro. I don't know.
I'm sure he has a wife.
I don't know.
Nah, he's too busy fucking college students, bro. There's a reason he doesn't allow electronics in his class. It's because he's dishing it out.
Okay.
That
no recordings.
That man has endured so much, and I admire him so much for his views on several issues, except some of the more domestic policies. He thinks the idea of transgenderism is absurd.
Ah, there it is.
And I'm like,
whack.
Well, he's also 86 years old. So.
Whack.
Yeah. Like,
I'm not living that long. Whack.
No.
Dang, that's cool that he's complicated.
He is complicated. He has a new book called I'll Burn That Bridge When I Get to It, and he talks about it very intensely. And he gets interrogated for it a lot when he went on like his kind of like mini book tour, and he was basically like, this is against science. Like,
oh,
just
bro, he's Jordan Peterson.
He did pull a Jordan Peterson in that debate. He pulled a Jordan Peterson in that debate.
Damn.
He was like, enough with this postmodern terminology.
Damn.
Like,
old guys just don't get it.
No, they don't.
Or like, they're just not. That's the bridge that they won't cross.
No, I imagine it was like to them, it's the same thing. To my dad, when I was like 14, I was like, I'm gonna get an earring. I'm going to get two earrings.
I said no.
And him just being like, I can't even understand this. I'm so confused.
What?
This is – like, it hits them in a certain way where they're mad at how confused they are by it.
Fuck?
They're just like, why the fuck would they do this? Why? Like,
yeah.
Now they get older and softer for most people, except for JP and Norman Finkelstein. Because if you double down like that in the public light, you can't really soften.
Yeah.
But for people who live, like, a private life, you usually soften or severely harden over
when you hit 50. I can honestly say that I've evolved.
The mind starts breaking down.
I can honestly say I've evolved a lot in terms of the idea of transgenderism. Like, I really, like, I thought it was completely absurd at
some
point.
Well, I know what? Before I hit my full blackout in 2016, our prom king was a transgender person.
Really?
Yeah.
That's wild.
That
despite Fraser's best effort.
Yeah, despite I
he
fucking
was trying to
I
stuff
was,
the balance.
I was fucking if I was control of that, bro, it would have been me.
Florida, Florida, Florida.
It would have been me and the baddest bitch in school, bro. Nah.
Which would be that transgender person.
It'd be shout out Ray Ramsey. That was dope.
Shout out Ray Ramsey.
We were very progressive because we come from New Hampshire, or I come from New Hampshire, libertarian town. Don't tread on me, live free or die, baby.
Here's the thing about postmodernism.
But there was a big uproar.
Here's the thing about postmodernism.
People were really mad, bro.
What's the thing about postmodernism?
Here's the thing about postmodernism.
You don't know shit about dick, bro.
It's done, dude.
Puddle of cum.
It succeeded. I think the decentering and destabilization brought forth by the postmodern project that
you only read 10 books last year.
I read 12.
I read 11.
And they were hard.
I read 12,000.
But the reference to things of the past is so gone. I don't think anyone. I mean, I think that's like a weird thing to do with writing is to kind of understand your audience has like no concept of anything that happened before. In terms of literature. I mean, do you think about that? Like, it's obviously like you shouldn't make stuff that's referential. It's pretty
or
cheap.
Derivative. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we do it all the time. Like, I mean, at least in popular cinema, like, right, the homage is so big, like that. People clearly like think there's some value to it.
I mean, look at the entire career of Quentin Tarantino.
How many people think Inglourious Basterds is nonfiction? A good amount. How many people think Django Unchained is nonfiction or realistic
depictions? A dramatization of what
happened.
They
think it's legit. People 100%. Dude, I had to talk to people. Like, I had friends and shit for the last one, whatever it was. Like, what was it? Fucking the Charles Manson one.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
People thought that was real. People 100%. I talked to people who were like,
part?
Yeah, that's crazy.
That Manson killings didn't happen.
That it happened like that.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
People 100. People might. Like, yeah, there's no understanding
of
history.
It's crazy to, like, approach an audience that maybe has 40% of people that are like, are equivalent to like the kid in your third grade class that's watching a movie and asks the teacher, is this real? Yeah.
Like, is Oh Brother Where Art Thou real?
Fucking idiot.
Is that
right?
Real?
God.
Is that, you really do that? Yeah.
I said the same thing about The Passion of Christ.
No, but it's not technology's fault. It's not modernity's fault. It's the postmodern project. We did it.
We fucking did it. Nothing's real, baby.
Nothing's real. I mean, because that's like all. I mean, you look at books. That's all people want to like read now, right? They want to just see like their consciousness reflected back to them. Because like the question of like, oh, like can my consciousness be understood at all? It just is nowhere near them. Like we're such like real believers in we 100%. Capital we in realism again. Like we just reset. We're back.
I think we made it to the point where history isn't written by the victors anymore. History's just not written.
or it's written by enough people with enough agendas that it actually isn't history. It's just propaganda.
It's just when everyone has a different
But it was always propaganda.
It was never written.
I mean, can you blame the internet or can you just blame just humans in general just being over it? We don't care anymore.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, like, I think the idea of – I think postmodernism plays into this. I think the fatalistic idea of the world as we know it ending within the next 100 years or so has provided a level of fatalism that has contributed to that apathetic, this isn't real, nothing really matters, almost nihilistic point of view, and therefore we would much rather feel more comfortable in the deconstruction. But I remember a professor at Emerson, I won't name drop him.
Oh, did you go there?
Say it.
Rick Reichen.
Damn.
Rick Ross was your professor.
he was like Derrida. Whoa.
Fuck yeah, dude.
But
it's the one cut I'm gonna make. That joke is gone.
And that joke
Rick
is
Ross
gone.
Impression?
Yeah, fair enough. Sometimes you hit, sometimes you
Rick Reichen.
Rick Reichen. He said that when he was being taught by Derrida, when he studied under him, he basically, Derrida said, while deconstruction is important to have, it is merely a method. It is not a mode.
Get him.
And I think that's what we've left. But that's what we've, in postmodernism, we have kind of fucked up. Like, we just decide that, no, let's just deconstruct everything and have everything be this vaporic mist and not actually address the constructs that are instituted, that actually are real because they have real results that have real effects on people. We would much rather deal with the idea of our feelings or our consciousness about them being reflected instead of actually putting forth any degree of activism or any degree of social change or upheaval. That's why even though I love people like Pynchon, I love people like Don DeLillo, I love those types of writers, but I'm much more in line with the folks like Ginsberg and Burroughs and Kerouac, because like, even though they weren't as technically sound as writers, they were, in my opinion, more keen on reflecting a level of social change and acceptance to people that aren't in this homogenized American society, which we live in very much today.
You think Pynchon wasn't interested in reflecting? Well, he saw the end of social change.
Yes, he saw the end of social change, but like he mired himself in the paranoia that where it almost like the story itself didn't necessarily matter, and of course it can create this like awareness of systems that we have no real control in. But at the end of the day, like, you're left with very much like kind of a husk of what to do after reading him.
There is a reality. Prove it. There.
In terms of Pynchon?
You could, no.
There's your reality. There's not a worldwide reality.
No. Yes, there is, dude.
Prove it.
Well, I mean,
you
like,
only
yeah.
know
like,
your
yeah.
experience.
Like, it's like it's literally like the fuck off. I mean, the antithesis that you run into is just kind of like a fucking snarky fifth grader is like, you can't prove that. But it's like,
gotcha.
But it's like, if I crack your fucking jaw, that's real. Like,
so you need pain,
like,
to feel alive?
You need, yeah. I mean, there's base sensations that, like, that we can all agree upon. I don't, whatever. That's not the fucking point.
To see if I still.
The point is that postmodernism worked and people just want to read Otessa Moshfegh.
I'm just only gonna listen to the Minister Farrakhan and just do what he says. That's my reality.
Yeah. But also, I mean, I guess it. I mean, I talked about this on the fucking on the solo pod. The tactful use of deconstruction in times of social progression. It is interesting that is the aesthetic that won out. The one that decentralized any type of validity of experience or that of any type of political truth. The question became that of the self and how infinite the self was and how unknowable the self is and maintains. But this is just one aesthetic. This is one line of faith that you don't have to invest in. It's just an idea. But it took over all of our art, and it took over right at the time that social progressivism was tyrannically swept away in the United States. And Pynchon's point, at least, is attempting to express that he's trying to express that to a people that don't have a concept of social progression because it was taken away from them.
So we should do this is a call for a January 6th part 2.
Yeah.
And
This time we're
all going to be a part of it,
this
okay,
time,
guys?
Everyone show up.
Everyone show up. I'm
okay,
done
so
with this.
Looking, so
no, but
asking,
like, leave it.
Asking for a fascist coalition.
No, but, but literally.
I'm asking for an everyone
coalition.
No, I mean,
coalition, it's all. It, look, I mean, look at January 6th. Like, not. What a useful waste. Or a useless waste of. You know. Not that I agree with
political
it.
Motivation.
Political motivation, revolutionary
sure.
energy,
smashing
like,
the state.
If it doesn't show you like what an empty shell you're living in, they stormed the Capitol. No one was in there. It's like
gonna storm it again. That's what I'm saying, brother.
It's like the most like beautiful metaphor of being in the United States. It's like, yeah. I'm so fucking pissed, and like
but
I,
you guys
like,
gotta show
you're
up.
Like, gonna,
time.
You're gonna go Jeez. Into the Capitol, and you're gonna realize like. Yeah, there's nothing in here. Like, nothing happens here. Nothing's happened here for the last 60 years.
So
like,
where do we have to storm is, like, the good question.
No,
can we storm the Pentagon,
there's
maybe,
nowhere
guys?
To storm.
If we storm the Pentagon, there will be a lot more bodies.
There's nowhere
but
to
storm.
But if
we bring a lot more people.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Is the military going to get involved?
I'm pretty sure the Pentagon's got, like, a self-destruct mode.
We're gonna
like,
fuck that shit up.
It makes no difference. You can't make a difference.
Why can't we storm? I'm mad.
Frazier's just looking for a
Where can
a window
I take a
break.
Bus with a fucking million other people to go
yeah.
fucking
I mean,
destroy
look at,
something?
Look at the greatest American tragedy of the last 20-plus years. 9/11. Like,
bogus.
Bogus, right? Like, well, it made no difference. It only made it worse. Yeah, we have no concept of being.
Well, that was the whole
plan. Yeah.
Just to make it worse and evaporate more of your freedoms you have as a citizen.
Well, yeah, and America is great at othering people.
Yeah, and to also lose trillions of dollars.
And lose trillions of dollars. And we just went like, for the easy answer.
Where'd that go?
Yeah.
How did that plane hit the Pentagon? That's all we look for.
Do you even think a plane hit the Pentagon, though? Because I don't even think a
plane
actually. They could have thrown a plane into that shit, but also. How did all the records, how did it hit the one spot with the records to like a couple trillion dollars is the one that gets hit? And they're like, we don't know where it went. Sorry.
That shit was gone well before.
It's
like
proof of where it went. They're just like, this shit's gone, bro.
Sure, but I don't think they would need a plane. plane to do it. They probably wouldn't have done something as dramatic as that. They probably would have put like, an office fire.
What are 3,000 people?
Well, I mean, that's mostly in the World Trade Center, and
that's a pretty great distraction.
It's a great distraction, but the one thing that would probably not make it another good distraction is probably throwing another plane into that building.
Let's throw three next time.
I think that the idea that like of the post 9/11 world is that our government did an amazing job and our media structure did an amazing job of, instead of talking about financial freedoms and talking about having more creative expression, we decided that we needed a big baddie. We needed another boogeyman out there because our economy was about ready to flounder once again, and we decided, and our country decided, well, let's with whether you think it was like a planned thing or like a conspiracy or not,
100% planned.
Well, I would say it was 100% planned, but I think that our government knew a lot about it. I'm not so sure they're the ones that co-signed it.
We definitely co-signed it. Dick Cheney for sure was like, "Yo, this is gonna make me very rich and very powerful."
The intelligence stuff's weird. Like they definitely had knowledge that a attack was being plotted, and they definitely knew, like, not what? They definitely knew who was going to do it and proceeded to not do it. The justification is typically an oversized bureaucracy not communicating between between agencies, but like probably not.
You have to think also.
I would say that's true. There's because that's very much like October 7th. Like, there was such a level of arrogance.
Yeah.
They're like, October 7th,
but
like...
That was also propaganda filled, and they had an idea that that was going to happen.
Yeah.
And also, you have some of the most... You have the second biggest military funded by the biggest military to you. Well, not the second biggest, but some of the high-powered tools and weapons. And not the most manpower, of Yoppers. Course, but they got... We gave them the goods. Yeah. And you're telling me a guy on a hang glider with a jammed ass fucking shitty AR you think he's the fucking, like, the mass murderer and you guys have no idea what to do? Bullshit.
No, I think that I really do think that there was such a level of arrogance that they said there's no way they would do it because of the embedded idea that they believe the Palestinians aren't actual human
beings.
Dude,
a guy without shoes on a hang glider with a jammed gun is not a threat.
No, exactly. Exactly. But the thing is, there was enough people that got through that did, like...
Yeah.
I mean, shout out to Norm again. He did say that one of the biggest things October 7th revealed was that Israel is not truly the superpower that it really is. It's mostly a smokescreen.
I hate that. Oh, they're putting a date on. They're like making it a thing now. Never forget October 7th.
Never.
Yeah, there's like, never forget October 7th, but like both, I think 9/11 and October 7th.
Right? Never forget that rave, bro.
That's hilarious.
What was it called? The Nova? Like, can you imagine, like, how morally reprehensible must you be to have a rave that's 2 miles away from the world's largest concentration camp? Like, how morally depraved do you have to be like, oh, yeah, we're having a great time?
Because, you know, there's some pretty cute girls there, and I got caught up.
Shit, tell you what.
I mean, fair enough.
I was trying to.
This is a separate week, of course. This is not the, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say as a final point for that, when you look at anything for government-wise, CIA, FBI, deep state, if you have the idea or capacity to understand it, there was zero cons for them after 9/11. There was only pros. So if you look at who benefited the most from 9/11, it was the American government.
100%.
They had zero, there was almost zero cons. And there is full rights given to them to do whatever they want, to invade two completely innocent nations, to fucking mine lithium and steal oil, which people back then were even on the oil tip. We didn't even figure out, like, they were taking lithium and shit until, a couple years ago. We didn't realize
Having a back door to the most profitable heroin business that the world
had
ever known.
The CIA has just been smuggling shit, either if it's from South America or from the Middle East. drug wise into America forever.
And what if every book that you read just suggested that like reality isn't real? And that's all that's and that all you can really care about is
well,
like
how can
the truth, the truths of adolescence and like emotional connection, and you just want to see yourself reflected back to you. I want to close out tonight.
Can you prove
reality,
though?
No, you can't. No, you can't.
Can you
just
prove your reality?
You can only prove thought.
You can't prove it. Prove anything.
Only prove these thoughts,
you
bro.
Know what I'm saying?
You can only prove the thoughts that you think, because
spring,
that's all you can have.
Spring. Is here.
Spring has sprung.
Spring has sprung.
And the spring thoughts
Easter
are out.
Is right around the corner.
Daddy mom jeans are in fashion.
Daddy mom jeans
I'm
are
going
here.
To church, baby. I went to church on Christmas.
How was it?
It was nice.
All right.
Nice.
Candle. Prayed for you.
Good.
Fucking heathens.
You prayed for me?
Yeah, prayed for everyone.
That's really nice.
Not really. I prayed for my friends and family.
So not us.
I lit a candle.
My friends.
These are my three favorite humans.
Yeah.
Pray for myself.
Pray for us.
Praise up.
All right, how do we want to
you going to go
yeah,
to church
we
on Easter?
No.
Who's going to church on Easter?
All right.
I
yeah, we got
I
we're
am.
We got to close this thing out, dude. We got to close this thing out. We got to close this thing out with a good segment. Good something to keep people's hopes up.
Yeah, let's
Matt
sunny.
Matt can't. Don't do the Jew voice again. We need something better than
that. It's the Finkelstein voice.
Don't say. See, dude, it's the tone. I don't even know when it's the same. It's always been an argument. If like it's how you say Jew, you can't really. You can't.
What?
I think it's always. It's like one of those things. It's always the tone of it.
Jew.
I think when you throw it in the air like that, where it's almost like, oh man, I can't.
Oh, that was bad.
I can't picture it.
The way I said it?
Because it's an open question. You're
the
not
Jewish
like,
voice, perhaps?
Why does the ish sound so much better?
I don't know.
Why is
well,
that?
Because, like, yeah, because, I mean, I feel like Jew sounds like something you would
yes.
Say pejoratively
I think
to someone.
It stems from watching too much South Park as
Jewish,
well.
Jewish, you're that's like, fair. You're just talking about a religion. You're like,
yeah.
I read that in a book.
We can talk about South Park for a little bit.
No. We need something. We need something really good. We need something because.
How about them Bruins, guys?
We need some point to really, really bring back our audience. We might have lost them, and
do
if they and they're hanging on here at the tail end of the episode, and they're saying,
"And we appreciate you hanging on."
I used to love.
Give me
the Cult Magazine
voice. Come on,
the Cult Magazine podcast, and now I don't know where these guys are even going.
Apart.
It's falling apart.
Well,
fear not.
you know,
we're an absurdist podcast.
No, we're not. We're just
it's a satirical podcast.
Satire.
Yeah.
Let's diagnose the podcast.
It's
so far so bad.
Hyperbole.
Haven't found a lane.
Satire.
No one comes prepared.
Faux
no
intellectualism.
One, sometimes people like pull out their phone and read stuff off of it.
Woo!
I would never waste my time with this podcast. We're bringing nothing to the table.
I think we bring a lot.
But thank you for listening.
Rip bongs, bro.
Oh, yeah, that was good. We can even end this one early on.
What should we like?
How about just Jake doesn't talk for the last 10 minutes?
There we go.
Yeah.
Jake's
like
ending early.
Like
how about that?
let's talk about something positive. Let's talk about something that we're hopeful about going into the rest of
spring
this year.
Spring is here.
Off of the spring, besides the spring, I'm talking about the rest of the year in general. What, Jake, do you have hope for?
Can't wait
good.
To delete all these episodes.
Delete all these episodes.
Delete the podcast. We're gonna discontinue Cult Mag and start a band. Puddle of Cum.
Puddle of Cum.
That would be terrible because we actually did just start getting in a group.
The rap rock group, actually.
Yeah.
I like that.
I don't know.
You guys like rap rock?
I hope to make more magazines. The magazine's going well.
Yeah.
I hope to.
See, it's going really, really well.
It's going really, really well. It's going especially well this week.
We sold like 200 copies.
We sold like 200 copies this week. I don't know.
Is that real?
Yeah.
No.
It's 100% real.
What are you feeling hopeful about?
What am I feeling hopeful about? I feel hopeful about that we we as a collective in Cult Mag are truly figuring ourselves out and getting not a lane, but we feel unbound. We feel we feel unbound by any degree of categorization, which keeps us interesting and I think gives us a degree of fun. Maybe not necessarily levity, but I don't think anyone's going to come into any degree of whether it's an episode, it's a magazine, it's a piece that we publish online, it's a piece of art that we put out. I don't think anyone's going to necessarily know exactly what they're going to get each time. And I'd like that energy.
But I was going to say.
And I'm hopeful that we continue that.
Yeah.
Do you jerk off with the Aquaphor or do you have like dry?
No, it's for my hands. Oh. Do you jerk off with it?
I don't know. I was asking you because you got it.
No, dude, if you put it on your hands, it keeps them so oily. Can you, having that on your penis for all day would be...
Oily penis?
Yeah.
Something tells me it would hurt.
Ooh.
It wouldn't hurt. It would just be like...
Nothing
you
seeps
in. It would feel weird all day, probably. It's like... Yeah.
No, you got no, swimmer's dick all day.
All day. No, it's my hand. I got dry hands. I hope that my hands get less dry.
Well, spring is sprung, baby. Get ready for the least dry skin and sweat, dude. You're just going to be sweaty. Jake got actually a nice haircut, so he's not going to be too sweaty.
Thank you very much.
He's going to be doing well.
That's good for me.
Put away that Aquaphor, boys.
Ceasefire now.
For me? I got like three more impressions I wanted to try out.
They're not getting cut, so.
This one.
I know this for a fact. They are not getting. All
right, so I won't try out the impressions. and yeah, fuck. I'm definitely gonna do them, but after the microphone's off.
All right, thank you for listening again. That's it.
Love you, V.
This is my Bill Cosby impression. You ready?
It's still going. It's still going.
All right, wait, do it.
He's not even relevant anymore.
Yeah, okay, all right. All right, bye.